F1, number 28A.
Now we come to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel just takes the thought where Jeremiah has left it and builds on that point. You see, first was Isaiah, mostly pre-exilic, except Deutero Isaiah. And then Jeremiah, who just witnessed, you see, the fall of Jerusalem, therefore just at the edge of pre-exilic and exilic. And then comes Ezekiel, the exilic prophet, and then Daniel, the post-exilic prophet. And so they take in one line what the preceding prophet has seen. I repeat, you see what I think they want to show fundamentally. Isaiah says, well, God is the only God, and his realm is translated to the human plane, the realm of understanding. So he postulates that people must understand God. Jeremiah comes and says, but what happens if they don't want to listen? And so he says, well, God has a Christ, and that Christ's innate nature is to reform men. So he shows how through the Christ translation, Israel is forced to accept in his heart that translation from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, where the understanding is written into his heart. But what is written in his heart? Isaiah doesn't tell that. Jeremiah doesn't tell that. He doesn't tell what was written in his heart. It goes only as far as to say that it is understanding that will be written. A new law is written. But what is the form of this law? That he doesn't reveal. But Ezekiel does. Ezekiel's prophecy is now to show that what will be revealed in that heart is, and then he shows the calculus, shows the New Jerusalem. So Ezekiel's prophecy is all concerned about how is the whole science of the Christ being born in the heart of men. That's Ezekiel's prophecy, and he shows it through the world order in its days of creation order. As so often in the textbook we have that when we come to a chapter which has the touch of Christianity, that it is written in the Christianity, in the days of creation layout, because it may show the birth, the demonstration of the birth of men, of true men. And what is written in this heart of Jeremiah, Ezekiel presents as the scientific man, as the structure of scientific men, and how that is being born, the birth of the calculus in understanding, the birth process of understanding. It isn't like we saw in Zechariah, where he just showed the transformation, the inevitability of the transformation of the material calculus into the divine calculus. Ezekiel shows to us the method of how the understanding of what the calculus is being born to us. What one hears over and over in Ezekiel is that man is now endowed with the Spirit of God. See, you come now to the touch of Christianity. We have Christianity as Science in the chart, that man is now endowed with the Spirit of God. In Jeremiah, the Spirit of God said, I go and change that heart. And now it sits in that heart. See, the focus changes now to that heart. Now the Spirit of God entered into me. And the Spirit, this is repeated and repeated in the text, and the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. You see, gave me a sure foundation, the foundation of understanding. Now he begins to become conscious of the form and structure of understanding. Every of the one of the seven subjects which he presents is introduced by the recurring term, the hand of the Lord God was upon me. And then it shows, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. I will give them a new heart. I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel. So that one just begins to see what happens is that he sees that the Christ comes and put the spirit into man's heart, or heart is usually a symbol of understanding, into man's heart, to that extent that one feels firm ground under one's feet. Under one's feet, yes. He set me on the feet. Until at the end of the prophecy, he could see that the Lord says, my tabernacle shall also be with them. See, to show that my tabernacle, that the Lord's tabernacle, that's the Lord's consciousness, will also be with them. It will be established in them. And then they say, and what is the name of it? What is being established? And they say, the name of it is, the Lord is there. That's how it ends the whole prophecy. The Lord is there. So Ezekiel therefore has that big message where the Christ comes to consciousness and establishes. See, now we have the what we have as the three, the restoration. Thank you. The restoration of the true idea. The restoration of understanding, so that one says, in the understanding, God is there. What is the name of the place? The Lord is there. So, Ezekiel shows that restoration of the understanding in consciousness, or the, perhaps we also could say the birth, but perhaps it is better to say the restoration, because it's quite interesting to follow the reasoning of Ezekiel. I just will go through the seven tones, not that you need to know them. I mean, let's see that you take it very easily and don't feel pressed and don't feel that you lose something by not remembering anything. That doesn't matter so much. What will matter is just the whole atmosphere which you get this week and which we may establish, and then that has a Christ in itself, and that will begin to grow and to grow and to speak to each one of you in its individual way. But let's see how Ezekiel sees the establishment of the scientific consciousness in men, how that is being born. And he does it in a way, naturally, that would be an order for us. That it isn't just the way he has seen it. If he is a scientist, if his message should have any universal meaning, then it must be a way in which it will come to each one of us. It will show the line, the order, how each one of us can give birth to this scientific understanding. The first thing is that he shows the vision of that whole structure. Perhaps you remember from Ezekiel how he begins with symbolisms all about the seven and all about the four, about the Christ, the wheel, and then the wheels within the wheels. See, this week we had the wheels within the wheels. We did not just have the wheel, the Christ, but we had to see that this wheel was also turning around within the wheel, was turning around within the world and within the Christ and within Christianity and within science. And it shows how within that wheel there were eyes. Yes, we could see that wheel as the Christ within the wheel of the world had seven eyes, seven subjects, and so on. That's what his language to say. But what he wants to convey, you see, is that at the beginning he saw the whole vision first. An enormous vision of all the categories. And that is how we start. We start first always to have a vision of the system, of what we study. First, it is only a vision. First, we only say, yes, I can see it. See, that's the first reaction which a student or a listener says and says, oh, yes, I can see it. Yes, that's quite clear. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that fits very nicely. See, it's seeing. That's all. And that's what he shows. First, we must see it. So he had the visions of the 7 days, he had the vision of the calculus, and then Ezekiel did eat the roll. He did eat up the roll. He said, all right, now I have seen that vision. That's what I want to get. So he eats it. But he doesn't leave it at that. See, very often we just leave it at that and think that's the end of it, because we are inwardly we believe that is the end of it, to see things right. So the teacher, Ezekiel, comes down and says, no, that's not enough. That's just beginning right. But that's not yet ending right. You have to follow the divine spiritual order, which isn't just thinking, just seeing. And so we get the second subject where he ponders that whole vision. It's shown that Ezekiel now goes to the captives away in a quiet place, and for 7 days he sits down among the captives. For 7 days. See, you get the sense of what we see that once we have seen an idea, that we don't let it go out of our hands. That if we don't go to the second stage and say, now, I must ponder it. I must ponder it 7 days, which means I must ponder it completely, as long as until I see it in its fullness and its freshness and its living sense, I must ponder it. I must sit down and ponder it. So he was sitting down among the captives and was watching it. He was a watchman, and he was watching the idea, and he was also warning the wicked. He was also, you see, was that sense of separation where we go into the closet and shut the door, where we go into the silent chamber of pondering, thinking it over, loving it over. I would more say loving it over than thinking it over. Seeing the bigness of it, loving the bigness of it, admiring the greatness of it, the beauty of it, the import of it. That's the second stage. That has nothing more to do with seeing things, trying to see it clearly. But it's taking that which one has seen and just turning it over, and turning it over no more in a repetitive way, but with the heart, I would say. Then he goes to a third subject and shows that's still not enough. And so now, with his vision, he begins to rebuke mortality and to reduce Jerusalem to a remnant. He begins now to tackle the physical body, the false Jerusalem. He begins to rebuke all in himself what he sees is not in accordance with what he has been first seeing and then pondering. So he says, I can't come to the end where I say, now God is here, unless I go through this order. So Ezekiel is made dumb at that point. He's made dumb. He has to silence now material sense. He has to rebuke all that which says it is not so. He has to rebuke now all those voices which voice something against his vision and against his love for that vision. And he must rebuke it and rebuke it, and he's a great rebuker, and that is only being done through spiritual sense, where mortal sense, material sense, is silent. So Ezekiel was made dumb at that point. And only when we are dumb, when we just listen only to spiritual sense, no more can hear anything of the material sense, then things become definite and strong within us. And so the Lord says, behold, I am against Jerusalem. At this point he has just to tackle the physical claims, Jerusalem as that symbol of body and that symbol of the testimony of the physical senses. And it says, I'm against that. Then he goes further. Then he goes to principle and says, well, this is not enough. You have not yet arrived. It's not yet fully born in you. You have now used your spiritual sense to refute every opposing testimony. But now you must go a step further. Now you must use your spiritual sense as a system. As a system. You must have systematic understanding. Or else, he tells them, if you don't have science and system, he says, you can't handle the secret working of animal magnetism. God now shows Ezekiel shows the dark chambers of imaginary. The dark chambers of imaginary. He shows them, beg your pardon?
Imagery.
Imagery, huh. Thank you. Imagery. Oh yes, it comes from image, huh? Yes. The French would say imaginer, you see. So I have always to switch from one to the other. You see, he shows there are chambers. At the moment you have more than one realm, chambers, you have categories. You have categories. And so he asked him to see first all the categories of evil, all these chambers of imagery, and to handle them. And he is quite overwhelmed by seeing how evil works through the belief of categories and system. And so the only way then he begins to realize that he can deal with it is through the Christ operation. There it is, that passage, O will. Remember John Dolly, how he was impressed with that, O will. And really, now perhaps where we have grown a little bit after all those 10 or 12 years since then, really when one reads it, one gets quite impressed by suddenly seeing, yes, I can only handle the claim of organization of material science, of scientific organized evil, if I have that Christ sense not only as one wheel, but as wheels within wheels. But all, as we have seen this week, you see, that it is not enough if we just would have Hosea and just would try to handle evil just with the law of Hosea. That we need all the others, all the four wheels within the four wheels, and that they turn, that only as they turn and overturn, that we can reach all the 16 numina of evil. It's that point where we have that well-known passage, I will overturn and overturn and overturn until he cometh whose right it is. He doesn't just say that wheel just turns over once. It's not only Hosea. It overturns Hosea and overturns Joel and overturns and it's Amos and it overturns and it's Obadiah and it overturns and it's Jonah. And so it overturns and overturns until finally, when the fundamental misunderstanding of God is handled, then he says, then he comes whose right it is. Then, having shown that he must see his, that he must be a scientific in his outlook, and that only a scientific outlook can handle it, then again, as the prophets always show when they come to the tone of life, it's the newness of life. Then they say, then with that instrument in your hand, with those tools in your hand, you really become to be practical. Really then life gets a new meaning. Not before. So, and here it is, and shows that the dead letter would just be barren. Ezekiel's mouth is opened again. Now he is open, now he can talk. Why now? Because he has seen the principle of it. Now he can interpret rightly. You see, now he can interpret rightly. After he has seen the principle of the spiritual idea, and as he has seen how it works as the wheel within the wheels and with the eyes within the wheels, as he has seen that, now he can teach. Now he can interpret. Now he can see the true meaning of everything. The new light breaks on him. And so it is said, how the Lord says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now we get the way of life. See, the new way of life. You see, Jeremiah went only as far as to say, I will put a new law into your heart. But now it's there, and he causes him now to execute, to demonstrate, to use that law, so that I cause you to walk in my statutes. Can you see how Jeremiah is the touch of the Christ, and now we come to Christianity, to the using of it. But then it shows as truth that this new spirit which is put into his heart, that is really the form of manhood. That makes now the structure of, or that makes up the new sense of manhood, and wins a complete victory over mortal manhood. It's that passage of the valley of the dry bones, where bone come to bone, you know, and where man there gets a victory, where the compound idea man now gets a victory over Gog, a victory over Gog. Gog was the symbol of material man. And then he comes to a large, large exposition of divine science. He shows now what is the form of divine science, which is man. See, I come back to that statement where Mrs. Eddy says that it was divine science that ushered Jesus into human presence. And when one reads this, by the way, that's in the tone of love in the textbook. And here again, Ezekiel, in the tone of love, shows that. That really what constitutes man is that which is the outgrowth. Can you know that's not very nice? Of divine science. Outcome, so of divine science. He gives an enormous long description, so long that one gets tired of it, and at the same time impressed by it, that he wants to show every little detail. Yeah, sorry, you don't know what he shows there, the measuring of New Jerusalem. He shows them the new city and the new Jerusalem and the measuring of it. And it's constantly that they measure, say, the width of it and the breadth of it and the height of it and the towers and the doors and the gangways and the houses in it and the different categories within it. It's constantly measuring it and depicting it. This is on the south, this is on the north, and this is this and this. Well, naturally, hasn't the faintest idea how this city really would look like if one would make a picture of it and would draw it on a drawing board. One just wouldn't know how to do it. It goes over pages and pages, and when one reads it, you see that sense which one gets and says, well, what he really wants to say is that everything in me has its place in the science of being. That every little detail is so, or that the whole thing is so complete. Man, the structure of man is so complete that every little detail has its definite place and its definite relationship with the other ones and so on. A wonderful sense that man really is the temple of God, is the city of God. And so he ends there and said, well, the Lord is now there. Is now with thee, you see. The Lord is there. What's the name of this? And he says, well, the Lord is there. And that's how he ends Ezekiel. So, whatever the big story was, and whatever we want to remember is first its standpoint, where we begin to see that God says first in Isaiah, I am that mighty God which postulates the establishment of understanding, because that alone gives a solution for your rebellious mentality. Then we come to Jeremiah a step further, where Jeremiah says, and the Lord has that power that it is able to enforce that understanding even on resisting thought to the point where a new reformed heart is being established in men. What sort of heart? And so Ezekiel shows now the form of this understanding and shows that God is constantly coming to Ezekiel and bringing to him the new form of man. But he has to tackle constantly Jerusalem. He has constantly to tackle Jerusalem. He's always against Jerusalem, namely to the mortal sense of manhood. So there is a great exchange of the old sense of Jerusalem for the new sense of Jerusalem.